Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. This is Mike Moret, and I would like to invite you to open up your Bible today to the book of Deuteronomy. We are in chapter 3, picking up our study in verse 21. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that our hearts are good ground, that we would hear your word and understand your word, and that your word would bear fruit in our lives 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we come to chapter 4, verse 21, Moses is given his final big speech before the Israelites enter into the promised land. And he says in verse 21, he says, "The Lord was angry with me because of you, and he solemnly swore that I would not cross the Jordan and enter the good land the Lord your God is giving you as your inheritance." The Israelites egged Moses on for a long time, and he put up with it for a long time. Then one day, he responded to their sin with sin, and in a way that was personally and publicly dishonoring to God. The punishment for Moses? He doesn't get to enter into the Holy Land. Being sinned against is no excuse for sinning. Moses found that out the hard way. Verse 22, Moses says, "I will die in this land. I will not cross the Jordan. But you are about to cross over and take possession of that good land." Moses repeats the fact that he won't be going in. And you can tell that this was really on his heart, and it was really breaking his heart. Our sin sometimes keeps God from giving us the desires of our heart. Verse 23. He says, "Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden." The Israelites were especially prone to the sin of idolatry, having been around it all those years down in Egypt. In verse 24, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." When it comes to the issue of worship, God is jealous for his honor. The sin of idolatry, that is, putting someone or something before God, that sin strikes right at the heart of God. Idolatry is something that God resents and punishes. 25. "After you have had children and grandchildren and have lived in the land a long time, if you then become corrupt and make any kind of idol, doing evil in the eyes of the Lord your God and provoking him to anger," in other words, if after several generations in the Holy Land you start worshiping idols, you can expect verse 26, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day, that you will quickly perish from the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You will not live there long, but will certainly be destroyed." The land that they are entering into, that belongs to the Lord. And he did not invite them in so that they could dishonor him. If they turn to other gods, they are warned. He'll kick them out, just like you'd kick some invited guest out of your home if he started to make life miserable for you and your family. You wouldn't let him stick around. God won't let them stick around either. Verse 27, "The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and only a few of you will survive among the nations to which the Lord will drive you." And they eventually did get into idolatry, and God did remove them from the Holy Land. They were scattered. Excuse me. They were scattered. Just like God said. What happened? The 10 northern tribes were scattered by the Assyrian Empire, and the 2 southern tribes were later scattered by the Babylonian Empire. Verse 28. There you will worship man-made gods. Man-made gods of wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or eat or smell. And when you talk about worshiping idols, the idols of wood and stone are really the most degrading. I mean, worshiping the sun, moon, and stars, excuse me, that's bad enough. But at least those heavenly bodies transcend human life. Stone and wood idols, they are the work of men's hands. That is about as low as you can get in idolatry. I think I will make this thing out of wood and then I will worship it as a god. Well, how can it be a god if you made it? Verse 30. When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in later days you will return to the Lord your God and obey Him. And the latter days mentioned here in verse 30 actually refer to these days and days yet to come. The nation Israel committed a lot of sins in the Old Testament. They got in trouble for them all. But Israel has committed the greatest sin of all, because 2,000 years ago they rejected their Messiah, God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And according to Scripture, it is going to get very bad for Israel before it gets any better. It's going to get bad toward the end of this age. It's going to get very bad, which will wake them up spiritually and cause them to receive their Messiah. And after that, God will bless them. Verse 31. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers, which He confirmed to them by oath. God is merciful. And He will punish Israel, as He promises, but only to bring them to their senses so that He can restore and bless them. The Israelites are still God's people, even today. They are God's people. They are wayward, but they are His people. And they will be blessed someday because God has promised it. 32. Ask now about the former days, long before your time, from the day God created man on the earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything so great as this ever happened? Or has anything like it ever been heard of? God suggests that Israel go back, go all the way back to the first day of creation and examine all the history of every people in the world. By doing that, they're going to discover that they are uniquely blessed by God. Notice verse 33. Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire as you have and lived? Not only has no other nation, even to this day, heard the audible voice of God coming from a blazing fire on top of a mountain. No other nation has ever heard the audible voice of God, period. And so you talk about a blessed nation. You're talking about Israel. Verse 34. Has any God ever tried to take for Himself one nation out of another nation? By testings, by miraculous signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds, like all the things the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes. The United States helped to liberate France from the Nazis. We're trying to help Iraq right now. But you know, that is, you know, that sort of thing is one nation saving another nation from some oppression and some other nation that is oppressing it. That's happened. But the deal down in Egypt was God blasting Egypt with one miraculous plague after another until they let Israel go. That deliverance was all supernatural. It was all God. Didn't have anything to do with one army beating another army. And that deliverance has never been duplicated. God has never done that for any other nation. Verse 35. You were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God. Besides Him, there is no other. As slaves down in Egypt for years, Israel lived among idols and idol worshippers. The mighty miracles God did in Egypt to deliver Israel were done to show them that God is the only real God. Verse 36. From heaven He made you hear His voice to discipline you. On earth He showed you His great fire, and you heard His words from out of the fire. The people of Israel heard God's voice as He spoke the Ten Commandments. It wasn't just Moses. It was the whole nation. They heard it. And God did that for their discipline, the Bible says. In other words, to keep them from sin. Verse 37. Because He loved your fathers, or your forefathers, and chose their descendants after them, He brought you out of Egypt by His presence and His great strength. And God is not talking about their immediate fathers here in verse 37, because He loved your fathers. He's not talking about their immediate fathers. Their immediate fathers were no good sinners who died in the wilderness. The fathers here refer to their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God promised them, their ancestors, that He'd take care of their offspring and make them into a great nation. And that's why the Lord did all these wonderful things for the Israelites and continues to do them even as Moses speaks. Verse 38. To drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you, and to bring you into their land and to give it to you for your inheritance as it is today. All the wonderful things that Moses speaks about here in verse 38 include driving seven powerful nations out of the Holy Land and giving it to Israel. Verse 39. Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. In other words, always think about this and never forget, Israel, your God is God. He made the heavens and the earth. He owns them, and He does what He pleases with them, which is how He is able to give the Israelites their land and take it away from the depraved sinners who are currently there, because He's the Lord of heaven and earth. Verse 40, and we'll stop with this today. Keep His decrees and commands, which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time. They ought to keep God's commands. They ought to keep God's law because He is the Lord of heaven and earth. They ought to keep His law because He's been so good to them. And if those are not enough reasons for them to keep God's law, how about this one? If they don't, they'll be driven out of the promised land, just as the present inhabitants are about to be driven out. Father, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let the beauty of the Lord our God rest upon us and establish the work of our hands for us. In Jesus' name. Until next time, this is Mike Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse, reminding you to stay in the Word and stay in prayer. Till next time, so long everyone.